The USHL's conference finals are beginning this weekend, and the Fargo Force finally know who their opponent will be after punching their ticket to the conference final over this past weekend. They had to await that series finale, that decisive game five between Lincoln and Sioux Falls from earlier on this week. But we're joined now by Fargo Force assistant coach Carson Kosaba. Coach, how are you doing? And overall, what are your first impressions of your opponent being the Sioux Falls Stampede for the conference final, that best of five series?
They're doing great. Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. We've obviously ran into them quite a bit this season, and but we got to give them the roses. They did well, and yeah, we're excited to get started with this next series here.
I believe if I counted up correctly, we were kind of doing the math on how everything was shaking out, and you guys had struggled a bit against Lincoln this season. You were 2-5, I believe, but against Sioux Falls, coincidentally enough, you were 6-2 on this season. How much confidence does that give the guys, knowing that even though you don't, entering that series, have home ice advantage, that you guys have played incredibly competitive hockey against the team that's going to be hosting the first two games of the series?
Yeah, I mean, it's always promising to know that you did well during the regular season, but the playoffs are definitely a different animal, and you kind of got to put that back in the memory bank, and obviously know what you did right to be successful in these games, but also got to look at these as brand new games, and history is history, and you got to make the future better. So yeah, you just kind of got to look forward and not look back.
For example, I mean, with last year's team, you guys, unfortunately, you had a really short postseason berth. You had made some trades. You were trying to recoup some assets for what are guys on this year's team and also the next couple of seasons. But to bring back guys from last year's squad that had that little bit of taste of the postseason from the Mason West, the Zimmermans, the Cullens, and company, those guys, how important, even though it was, I believe, short, only two games in the postseason last year, how important were those couple of games to prepare the guys for this season's postseason run, just getting that taste and understanding that bit of a shift in mentality and style of play once the postseason comes?
Yeah, I mean, definitely all of our guys that have experience in the playoffs, it helps them because it's definitely a different animal than the regular season, and you know, tensions are high, and definitely going to be a lot of fans that you're going to have in your ear. So having that little bit of experience in the playoffs is definitely beneficial for when we're going into these series like this.
Not necessarily trying to, you know, oust anybody for what would be statistical things of those sorts, but in that, you know, the last couple weeks of the regular season, watching some games into that series against Sioux City you guys had in the conference semifinals, it seems to me like whenever I've had a chance to watch Force hockey recently, that the opponents have really honed in on the first round draft pick in Mason West and the immense talent that he is. Just with you being a hockey guy and being able to play competitive hockey your whole life and now turning into a coach, what do you think is going on in a scouting perspective when a team tries to put that extra defenseman, the extra pressure, the extra back checker, whichever it is, on a talent like Mason West? And how is he handling that pressure, do you think? And on top of that, how is that helping the team be able to just be a little bit more deep in the fact that there should be a little bit extra open ice whenever he's on the ice because they're trying to limit his opportunities with his talent?
Yeah, you know, I mean, even when I played, obviously I was a defenseman, so, you know, it was kind of my job to, you know, be that guy that would stay on their good players and just play them a little bit tighter. Westy's obviously a really good player, first-round draft pick, so they're going into those games probably playing him a little bit tighter and keeping a little bit closer eye on him. So he knows that. He's been handling it really well, and he's been doing good in this postseason. So I have no doubts that he'll continue to be good.
With your last series, I'm jumping all over the board, so hopefully you're all right with that. But in that conference semifinal series against Sioux City, I had an opportunity to go to the Sunday night game two against the Musketeers. And what I found so interesting was I was talking with Jace about how the regular season series went. It felt like if you got to two goals, that was basically you were the front runner to win that game against Sioux City. It seemed like the winner was winning 4-2 or 4-1. Sunday was an outlier at 7-4. It was an absolute free-for-all for part of the game, but the guys responded really well whenever Sioux City got an opportunity. midway through that game, there ended up being that major penalty, unfortunately, on Garrett Lindbergh for the hit, and you guys ended up going 5-on-3 on a penalty kill for about 60 seconds, but then it was 5-on-4 for an additional 4 minutes on top of that, and you guys somehow went +1 in that with a shorthanded goal. Would you say that that was the turning point possibly of the series, or on top of that as well, what was the shift in mindset when you guys were able to kill off 5 minutes of disadvantage on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're on the kill, obviously tensions are pretty high. But the fact that we, you know, took that 5-on-3 for a minute and then continued to kill off the 5-on-4 and got that goal, definitely a big turning point for us. It creates a lot of pride and in our penalty kill, and definitely gets the guys' juices flowing. So that was really exciting to see, and we're hopefully going to continue to be good on the kill. And we can't wish for any more shorties, but it's definitely nice when those things pop up.
Trying to piggyback off of that specific kind of sequence of what happened, what I also noticed was, and you being a defenseman, I think is a perfect opportunity to ask this, but Arseny Marchenko was out on the ice, I bet you, for 4 minutes out of that 5 minutes of penalty kill. I'm sure some of it had to do with game plan, but also part of it had to do with the absence of Lindbergh on the ice. What extra element did he bring to that, and just how crucial was a guy like him in being able to create that +1 in that disadvantage, just with how well he played, even though I got to imagine those legs were probably getting pretty tired by the back end of that penalty kill?
Yeah, no, it's we've had a lot of guys step up, Marchie being one of them, but during those games there where we lost Lindy, then he was suspended, we had a lot of our defensemen step up to the plate and carry some minutes that they typically wouldn't carry. So they all handled it really well, and Marchie was a big product of that. So it was great to see him step up to the plate and take those minutes that Garrett would have had.
In net, your goaltender, A.J. White, who began the season as a slight split, turned into just the guy for you guys and has been absolutely tremendous all season long here. Now at this point, 3-0-1 at this point in his 4 postseason matchups. He's only surrendered 9 goals in total, but he's got right now a 92% save percentage on the postseason. How important is it for a goaltender to be playing his best hockey at this point of the season, knowing that AJ's playing well, but also just to throw out another name, because of how incredible he's been for Madison, and Caleb Heil, a young man who has given up 7 goals in 6 games, and he's helped the Capitals get to the conference final in the Eastern Conference, respectively. When guys like that are playing their best hockey at this point, what's the confidence that it gives, and how are they just able to really flip that switch, if you're able to give an answer on that?
Yeah, I mean, some guys are just gamers like that, and obviously AJ is definitely one of those guys, and he's super ultra-competitive player, so he's got a lot of confidence, and that's great in the postseason, and we definitely need that confidence to if you're going to win playoff games. Obviously, being the starting goalie is a very important role to have, and it gives the team a lot of confidence when he's stopping pucks back there. So he's been doing great, and we'll need that to continue to have success in the playoffs here.
You're not only time's going to be able to tell on this one, but how important was it for you guys to close out that series against Sioux City in 4 games, not have to go to a decisive game 5, and to give your guys an extra basically 96 hours of rest on top of Sioux Falls, who ended up having to play on Tuesday evening in route to get into this game. So they're only going to be on 72 hours worth of rest, where you guys are going to be on 6 days worth of rest.
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit to not have to play that extra game and get a full week of rest. But, you know, we have a lot of guys that played a lot of big minutes, so I think they definitely needed that rest. So I'm glad that we didn't have to go into game 5.
And last thing I have for you, Coach, today when we're approaching that series against Sioux Falls, many people that are listening to this, of course, are diehard Force fans, so they're very well could be season ticket holders, or they find a way to get down to Sioux Falls to watch a game, or they watch the majority of the Force matchups, so they may know the competitive style of play between Fargo and Sioux Falls. It's turned into a pretty darn fun rivalry the last handful of years, just a couple hours up I-29 to play each other for, you know, 7, 8, 9 times a season at this point. What is the style of play that you expect in this series? How do you guys expect to try and counter that? And what is going to be the biggest key to being successful and to punching a ticket to the Clark Cup final in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, I think we just have to stick to our team's identity and just play our game. But obviously Sioux Falls has got some pretty high talented players and a couple draft picks. So it's going to be a good series. And I think if we just stick to our game plan and worry about the next game in front of us, then hopefully that we can perform and be successful. But it'll be a good rivalry series here to in the conference finals.
And last thing, actually, because I'm curious about it, I fibbed slightly to you, but when we look at the respective conference finals, I find so interesting that you guys in Sioux Falls are the top 2 seeds overall in the West, but out East, you got a 5 seed in Muskegon who is going to be hosting a 6 seed in Madison. The contrasting dynamics of that, is that just the nature of hockey in that a literal singular bounce on some uneven ice can result in that, or do you believe that out East specifically that the best hockey is just being drawn out and it didn't matter that they squeaked into the postseason? Once given that opportunity, they just executed at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show that it doesn't matter what the rankings are. It's anybody can win on any given night. So it's just the way the hockey game goes. Sometimes you get some bounces, sometimes you don't. But when teams show up to play, it doesn't really matter what seed they are. They just got to win the game, right? So I think that's kind of promising. It's good for hockey. So it's good to see those guys battling out there.